Having you on the team has been a real benefit to us to have you at the table with your ideas as we brainstorm things together.
Exactly.
And change the conversation and of how we see our work.
And help the U.S. and help the United Nations where nobody can get left behind.
Why did you decide to get to that table, to get to the table over here at the UN? And it's your first time at the UN?
This is my first time in the United Nations. And you know what? I feel yesterday, I kind of felt a bit emotional yesterday because, like, I couldn't believe that I'm here doing this. Because, for one, I have lived with discrimination, like, almost my whole life when I was young and growing up. I was bullied when I was young, when I was in a public school because of my disability. But now I can use that voice from that child that I was to bring forward, to share that child's voice that I used to be heard louder, and where I can shout it from the top of a building or off of a mountain.
Fantastic.
So bigger than the UN.
Yeah.
That's how big the voice should be around the world.
What made you decide to join the discussions on rights for persons with disabilities at the UN?
Well, one, that people with disabilities need to be heard more, and where their voice can be heard and my voice can be heard, because my voice and their voice needs to be heard a lot more and bring forth awareness, inclusion, participation, and keep growing in that society.
Is this the first time that Lausch is at the UN?
The second time.
The second time.
But the first time that we've had a delegation of a few people from international to Canada and the U.S. as well.
Wonderful.
So we're hoping to build on the relationships that we're making.
Fantastic.
And creating partnerships and bigger relationships. I believe it's important that we make bigger relationships and have the different diversity and participation of inclusion where we can bring people with disabilities to have their voices be heard at different tables. Let's say, if you're talking about people facing problems with someone who had Down syndrome, who with a different color, they want to be included in that, and how we can accept them at that table. So because they're important, and they're as important to bring their voice forward.
And as the creative advocacy coordinator, what is your inspiration for such creative projects as Free Bird, which was an award-winning film released in 2021, I believe, and it's been in New York film festivals, in Chicago. What inspires you?
Well, what inspired me is animation films, because I grew up with Disney and Disney Pixar, and now Marvel films. But there was something missing in the animation field. I've seen all kinds of Disney films, like The Lion King, The Little Mermaid, Aladdin, and Pocahontas. And normally, you don't see a person with Down syndrome or an animal with Down syndrome. And normally you don't see it in Disney films. Now you can in Free Bird and see the person in an animation film and forget the myths and get the facts.
What's the myth or the stereotype you want to crush the most?
What I really want to crush the most is that people with Down syndrome were institutionalized, and how institutionalizing people with disabilities should not be an option because they should not be shunned or shamed to be who you are. So I'm in a theater program called Soul Express, Large Toronto. That's how I met Warren Pott, and we did a performance with them called Dancing in the River. And there's a play called Birds Makes Me Think About Freedom. And that was led by institutionalized survivors. And I recently interviewed some of them on my talk show on Keeping It Real with Nick. And we interviewed people from Solo Express, the theater program, talked to the survivors to get information that can help with the production of Birth Makes Me Think About Freedom. After we talk with them, we turn it into a production with them. Not for them, but with them.
That's inclusion.
That's inclusion.
Yeah, on the ground, that's what it looks like.
And participation. There was a survivor that came up at that name. Maybe Warren, maybe you would like to share some light on that.
There was a survivor that you interviewed,
yes,
that shared what it felt like to be free. Is he would remember being in the institution and seeing the birds outside.
Yes.
And how difficult that was to hear that type of story, because he didn't have that type of freedom to go where he would like to. And your ability,
yes,
to listen and be compassionate to that story, to someone that you had just met, was quite powerful.
And we did a lot of research, and I mean a lot of research, to get this project going. In the beginning of that production, it was around that same time when I got my talk show up and running, around that same time. And my talk show came from an $800 micro grant, and which is now with the Disability Channel.
It's fantastic. Some of the episodes with you interviewing kids in the hall, and
yeah,
you just referred to some of the interviews you did with the institutionalized survivors. Who was your favorite guest on your show?
Me, I don't like playing favorites very much. So I have to say I love every guest on my show.
And what's next in terms of creative projects? Are you working on something now?
Actually, yes.
What is it?
I'm working on a book. It's a children's book. It's called My Name is Sunny.
And Warren, what projects do you work on together with Nicholas?
So Nicholas and I do a lot of creative work.
We
create videos together. Some of them are training videos. And recently we worked on some youth leaders in Canada with disabilities who have received some government funding,
yes,
to learn about leadership and how to make an impact in their local communities. And Nick, you mentioned the work that you do in L'Arche Toronto, which is,
yes,
at the local level. You also influence the work at L'Arche Canada.
Yeah.
And this week, we're here working with L'Arche International.
Yeah.
Because L'Arche is across the world in many different countries, 158 different communities, like the one in Toronto.
Yeah.
And it's on every continent. So the work that we're doing is really global.
And that's correct. And that's the reason why we're here in the United Nations to talk to other people. And keep attending these meetings so we can get our voice to the United Nations and work together. Me and Warren are working on a study guide to take to schools so we can teach about disabilities. And we're hoping that we take the study guide to public schools, schools across Canada or schools around the world. Hopefully, we're looking towards that.
What are you bringing to the conference? You talked about inclusion, sort of bringing your message.
Yes. What I was talking about with Freebird and the message coming from that is the reason why we're here in the United Nations talking about freedom, inclusion, awareness, and of course, education.
At the UN, one of the things that is a major focus is inclusion. And the,
yes,
2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development is making sure that we leave no one behind.
Yes, exactly.
You're telling me a couple of examples on how to do that on the,
yes,
ground. What achievements have you seen and what challenges remain in making sure persons with disabilities are not left behind?
I have seen a lot of accessibility being in front. At my program, Soul Express, the gathering place has accessible bathrooms. I was recently at a conference in Ottawa. It was the Canadian Congress on Disability Inclusion. There were a lot of talk about participation and inclusion, awareness, all kinds of accessibility. Let's say, for example, having accessible let's say, on air flights and talking about transit, how transit needs to be more accessible. That needs to be more worked on. I haven't seen it yet, but eventually I will see it eventually.
Do you have a message for persons living with disabilities?
Actually, yes, I do. I can say one thing, that nobody should be left behind, including for people who have Down syndrome, who are institutionalized, and how we can help them to be included. And, of course, awareness, and aware to be more accepted in other places. And don't look at them like, let's say, don't get them to look, because they've been institutionalized. It doesn't mean that they can't have a normal life. And they should have a normal life like I did growing up. Because when I was growing up, I lived a life of hard work and still have that freedom. But me, I lived with my parents. And I had the freedom to come and go, but still keep in contact. And that's a life that I have lived. But being part of a family or being part of something makes you feel more accepted. And that's the message I like to bring forward to other disabilities and people with Down syndrome across Canada and across the U.S.